Oh boy, it's time for dumbass news.
Okay. It's time for Chaz and AJ dumbass news.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. Woman sues after being spun 174 times.
There she is now.
Was it a bad game of dizzy bat?
Gets her head.
When was this? Like last year?
Last year, yeah. There was that footage you saw of the helicopter.
I remember that.
They have her on the stretcher, and they're pulling her up, and all of a sudden it started spinning like a propeller.
I remember that.
So bad.
She's got me so dizzy.
I remember
so
that.
Bad.
Yep.
It was completely out of control.
Yeah, I mean, it was spinning fast, too.
Didn't they put it down?
Right, they put it down.
And then they're like, all right, let's try this again.
And then
terrible.
like a bicycle spoke.
If that were me, you would just see a stream of vomit coming out.
Yeah, a vomit vortex. Too funny,
God.
Man.
Well, she's suing now.
They should have showed her walking afterwards. That would have went viral. No, we need you to walk to the ambulance.
Like dizzy bat.
Exactly. She's something 3 feet falls.
Right, I don't think she'd even make 3 feet.
But you got to put her someplace like by a pier so she falls in the water or something.
Why did it take so long?
Right.
Well, she,
for her to sue.
Because she finally
she just
stopped,
got undizzy.
She finally stopped spinning.
Yeah.
All right, the world's... Okay, world's... No, okay.
She couldn't hold a pen straight for a while.
For a whole year, something's spinning. Like, oh.
It was last year.
Yeah.
I didn't know this at the time, I don't think. She was 74.
Yeah. Yep. Revolutions per minute.
I wonder what that was.
74 RPM.
It was the downdraft.
Yeah.
You would think they would have figured that one out by
now.
Downdraft. Yeah. The downdraft.
They'd have some kind of cable attached or counterweight
or something. Oh, come on. They did it for fun. They're like, watch how fast this old lady spins.
No, I think they had to have forgotten to connect something, right?
Yeah. What you got to do is, like, you got to pour something, like some paint, and, like, make it like a swirl on her.
I love that. I love that.
Look, Megan, I'm getting... You're
modern
getting
art.
Sleepy. You're getting sleepy.
I used to love that.
My thought after a while, because I thought about this a lot, was they definitely had, like, trainees come in, and I feel like that's part of, like, the course from, like, right. Maybe not the instructors, but, like, the other officer who have been there for a while.
That's part of training now.
You're getting in the basket.
Right.
Right.
You got to experience whatever it goes through.
Right.
Or that video becomes part of training.
Oh,
or
now,
here's
now
what not to do.
Does.
Just like in law school, the like having OJ try on the glove is now what not to do
in
a trial.
Yeah.
That video of the basket spinning is, all right, look, we're going to teach you. Today's class is based on this.
I think I remember the commentary of that, like a news story being really funny. Whoever was covering the story was watching it
in
real time.
It was us.
It was definitely us.
Yeah, definitely us.
Pay attention, actually.
Or what they should do.
I think it was some...
They show it at the Christmas party, and like everybody like does like Mystery Science 3000, where they just all voice it.
Mystery Science?
Yes. That video, like that show where they used to play like a movie, and they'd sit there and they'd like do commentary on it, do something like that. It'd be kind of funny.
Can you do the helicopter and the woman spinning at the same time?
That's kind of tough.
Does she have a cap aboard?
That's her spinning.
Are you okay, ma'am?
No! And she was there for a head injury.
Oh, no.
I'll come over here and scramble brains.
Well, ma'am. Oh, man, we sound like John Travolta now.
I know. I come sitting there spinning like, oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
I don't know what happened. You'll rescue me. I'm just scrambling my brains.
I think you just lost your earring.
I have a cute earring.
It's not funny.
No. It is now.
But she's alive. She was suing.
Yeah, she's fine. She's suing.
Here's the thing. She was hiking.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
I feel like if you put yourself in a situation where, you know, real people have to come out and rescue you.
Yeah. Go on a treadmill. Go to Planet Fitness.
How about thank you?
Right.
You know, when they get you to the hospital and you're fine, just say thank you.
Yeah, because you weren't feasted on by coyotes and vultures.
Right. You didn't, like, you weren't found 10 years later a bag of bones, like a pile of bones somewhere.
Yeah, with a sign that says, help, crudely written in blood.
Scraped into a rock.
Right.
Yeah.
What's this? H-E-L. Thud.
No, seriously, these people go out and they do these nutty things, and that's fine. You want to experience life and challenge yourself and get close to death to feel more alive. Fine.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Just sign a waiver.
But if real people have to go out and risk their lives because you have a nice hobby that you enjoy,
get it together.
If something like this happens, don't sue.
Exactly, right. Just be grateful you're still alive. Thank you very much.
You rescue me, right.
Right.
Apparently, someone counted how many times she spun.
Oh, really?
174 times.
Ooh. Wow. There was some kind of illegal intern that had to do that. Yeah. There's no way that she how do you able do that? Keep track.
Every time her head passes one person with one area.
That's right.
One, tree, two, tree, three, four, tree, five, tree, six, tree, seven, tree, eight, nine, tree, ten. Tree, tree. You know what it sounded like? It would sound like the NASCAR crank it up. Vroom, 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 vroom. When they tell you to crank it up with the NASCAR race.
Right, the car's coming by.
That's her.
So who is this now? Is this her husband?
Her husband, and I believe also one of the rescuers in this clip.
Okay.
I just didn't know if she was dead or alive. She's very dizzy and nauseous. She hasn't been able to get out of bed. First thing she said, I'm glad I'm alive, because she thought she was going to die.
Start to lower the load, and it actually does start to stop, so... And then we slowly brought it back up. It gets into the same downwash from the aircraft and started to spin again. Brought it down again, brought it back up, hoping some of the spin would lessen, which it didn't, obviously.
It's like one of those little rides at Coney Island. Up and down, speeds me, up and down, speeds me.
That sucks when there's nothing you can do. We got to get her on.
Exactly.
Right, you saved my life.
She's going to go through this.
Right, the hard part is going to...
Now I'm going to sue you.
Stop spinning and get her in the craft.
All right, we could all participate in this one.
Okay.
Movies that didn't stand the test of time. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Joe Myers, movie critic on the phone. We're linked up to his stuff, Joe's View, on Instagram and Twitter.
Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Joe. Good, thanks. You know, we're all watching a lot more TV with this quarantine thing.
For sure.
What do you think? Movies that did not stand the test of time.
Well, you know, that you could talk about that forever. But, you know, a lot of people sort of point to the Oscars, you know, and some of the mistakes they think they've made, you know. I mean, poor Martin Scorsese, you know, was up for Raging Bull and Dances with Wolves. And in both of those cases,
was not his.
No. I'm sorry. I'm Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Okay. Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah. In both cases, you know, he lost to first-time actors directing. You know, in the case of Ordinary People, it was Redford. In the case of Dances with Wolves, it was Costner. And many people, and those movies both won Best Picture, too. So people always think those were two of the big mistakes. You know, most people think Scorsese should have won for Raging Bull or Goodfellas over the one where they finally gave him his belated Oscar for The Departed.
Right.
You know,
which was not his best movie.
No.
Which was not his best movie by far. I mean,
it's like Henry Fonda winning for On Golden Pond. Yeah. They gave it to him because he's about to die. We got to give him something before he dies. Exactly.
Goodfellas is great.
Yeah.
That is a great movie.
Epic. It's a masterpiece.
It is. Like right after The Godfather.
Be,
they will endure forever.
It will.
Yeah.
I agree. I've watched that a million times. It holds up.
Every time it's on, I watch it. Yep.
Me too.
What about The Big Chill?
The Big Chill, you know, I haven't watched that in a long time. I mean, there was another movie that came out a few years before, the John Sayles low-budget movie called Return of the Secaucus 7, which was about a similar reunion.
Right.
And frankly, I thought that did a better job of sort of catching up with 60s people than The Big Chill. But, you know, The Big Chill was slick and, you know, had a great cast of William Hurt and Glenn Close. So, you know, very watchable movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in there. It's here's the deal. So I didn't see it when it was out, right?
Yeah. Right.
But I heard all this buzz, and being a wedding DJ, everybody wanted Motown songs again.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It was this big revival. Right. All this. The soundtrack was great.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this must be a great movie. Just never got a chance to
see it. I better watch it.
During the quarantine, Jennifer says, you got to watch this movie. It's great. I'm like, okay.
Let's watch it.
We start watching it. We're about 20 minutes in. She's like, this is not as good as I remember.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Yep. Your taste difference.
Right.
The fun thing about that movie is, you know, that Costner played the guy who died that they were reuniting for, and he was cut out of the movie. There was originally a flashback scene showing them all as college kids with Costner in the movie. The only thing that's left of him in the movie is the opening credits where they have that weird thing of showing them dressing the corpse for viewing.
Right.
That's all that's left of
that's Kevin Costner?
Right.
That's Kevin Costner.
At his best.
That is weird.
Better than Tin Cup.
AJ, what movie do you think hasn't stood the test of time?
I'm thinking the first Star Wars, because of all the other Star Wars movies after that, there were so many different effects and the story changed. I'm thinking the first one doesn't really hold the test of time anymore.
The very, very first one released, not episode one. Right,
the very first one released, yes, back in 77.
Right, episode four, yeah. Well, a lot of people, a lot of Star Wars fans I know have always thought of The Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi
as being the better one,
yes.
As being the best, really, in the series, because it has all the original actors, you know, it's continuing the story from the first film.
Right.
Frankly, the six that were made after that all kind of run together in my mind. They just don't have that snap and the power of the first three. The originality, you know?
If you remember the first one when it came out, that from episode four, I guess it is now, whatever, that one there, I mean, there were lines down the block for an entire summer at movie theaters to see that movie.
I do think that movie stands the test of time. It's great storytelling. I think it's old school Hollywood. It's the bad guys wear black, the good guys wear white.
But it's been so overshadowed.
It's a very good versus evil.
Yeah, but it's so overshadowed by the other bigger blockbusters of the series.
It's less shiny. I know what AJ's saying. So they had to get very creative on a zero-sum budget. They had nothing for that first movie.
Right. Absolutely.
And when it became what it was, the budget came in the next two movies, and they utilized them to great success.
Totally.
But I know what you're saying, AJ.
Thank you.
To go back and watch all of those original three movies, one stands out. And how it looks on the screen from the other two, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I think you first have to like Star Wars. AJ was never a Star Wars fan. He saw his first Star Wars movie with me. We went to see the Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
And I think that movie, if you cut Jar Jar Binks out of that movie, you have a great war movie.
Right.
That's a war movie.
Yeah.
And Jar Jar Binks was there for the kids and for the merchandising.
Yep.
And, of course, AJ thought that was the greatest part of the movie.
I thought it was hilarious because they needed comedy in there. I saw all the rest of them. I was like, all right, this is nice. But Jar Jar Binks, I thought, brought breath of fresh air.
What was that?
You sound like
Jar Jar Binks right after he got his tongue electrocuted. Talking about movies that didn't stand the test of time, Joe Myers, movie critic on. We're linked up to all his stuff. At the radio station website. Ashley?
For me, it was Avatar. I remember it being a really big thing when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing it was a long movie. You kind of got to devote a
lot of time. Won a million Oscars.
I didn't see the big deal with it, though. I saw it recently.
Lost Best Picture to The Hurt Locker, but it won a lot of awards.
It sounds like a camera. Avatar.
The thing about that movie for me is when you take away the 3D, which was really spectacular to see in a theater, I agree with Ashley. As a TV experience, to me, when you strip it down to just the story and the characters without the 3D, it's not that exciting. I haven't been able to watch the whole thing, to tell you the truth, because I find the story gets in the way. But I can still remember going to a big theater in New York and seeing that in 3D.
I wish I should have.
Oh, was that the deal? You had to see it that way?
You had to see it that way. And actually, that came out in 2009, and that kind of relaunched 3D as a big thing. All of a sudden after that, a ton of movies were coming out in 3D because Avatar was so successful. And what's interesting is they've been working on the sequel for more than 10 years. The first sequel is supposed to come out later this year, hopefully, you know, if the theaters are up and running. But at this point, really, who is going to care that much about it?
I did hear, I haven't been, but they did Pandora at Disney, and I heard it's, like, magnificent.
It is at Disney.
Pocahontas, that's the Avatar story, is they took Pocahontas and they made
basically.
It.
Basically.
Right. Yeah. That was
so
a model.
The story's not original.
No.
And then, you know what they say about putting effects on a vocalist. You can put effects on a good vocalist to enhance the performance, but you can't put effects on a bad performance.
Right.
To hide the bad performance.
Exactly right.
And the effects here could be hiding a mundane average movie.
Yes.
Right? Like, if not for the 3D, no one cares about that movie.
Yeah, you don't hear people talking much about watching it again on television. You know, it's kind of disappeared. And, you know, for a movie, as you said, that was won a ton of Oscars, was up for Best Picture, usually movies like that don't disappear from television the way it seems to have.
What's that first movie Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were in together?
Good Will Hunting.
Yes, that movie, that masterpiece, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Everything that Ben Affleck was in after that, crap.
Really?
Everything?
Dazed and Confused is great.
I think Matt Damon had a much better career.
No one is arguing that ever.
No one is ever going to argue that.
Yeah. Matt Damon, way better actor. What else do we have from Ben
Argo.
Affleck?
Also won Oscar.
Jersey Girl.
Crap, I liked it. Gone Girl. Jersey Girl.
Didn't see that one.
And The Town. Those were three great movies.
Wasn't he Batman?
Have you even seen The Town? What is The Town about?
I don't need to see it.
You do crap. That all the time.
It's crap.
Will hates when you do that.
And he sucks. So it's crap. 7 years from now, we're going to have Chaz on the air. He's going to be like, so, I missed this when it came out, but I just watched this movie, The Town. Guys, I had to watch it three times over the weekend.
You're mistaking me with Ashley. I would never say, guys.
That's what you did with
Dexter. So loud.
This is what you're going to do with this movie.
So loud today. Today, loud.
I don't know why I even get mad. You're never going to watch it anyway.
Yelling.
I'm never going to watch
always.
It.
Always.
I'm never going to watch it. If I'm stuck on an island and that's the only movie I can watch,
my ears.
I'll walk into the water and drown myself.
They're bleeding.
You're
my
the
ears
worst.
Now.
You are
today.
The worst.
Why?
No, I just value my life.
Why?
I'd rather die
so
than
much?
Waste
why?
My life watching that movie.
Yelling. Okay.
Joe, what do you think about Ben Affleck?
BF.
Well, yeah, speaking of Ben Affleck, one of the movies that was a huge hit in 2001 that is unwatchable now for me is Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
Was that?
I feel like it was panned
even when it came out. Like, I know it made money, but I don't feel like anyone was like, that's a good movie.
Yeah, no one walked away feeling good.
That movie was a response to Titanic.
Right.
Big disaster mixed with a love story.
Right.
Love Triangle, Ben. It was Josh Hartnett and Ben Affleck.
Oh,
you know,
in love
with the same woman.
What happened to Josh Hartnett?
No one questions.
No one
stay
cares.
Focused.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Pay attention.
He switched to television. I mean, I've never seen it, but he was on a show called Peaky Blinders that people say was pretty good. But yeah,
no, it wasn't. I saw a couple episodes. I love it because it takes place in the 20s. So you see speakeasies and you see glimmer and glitz, but I couldn't do the storyboard me.
All right, I found two Ben Affleck movies that could be
Okay, what do we got?
Armageddon.
Yes.
That's really not a Ben Affleck movie. That's a Bruce Willis movie.
He's the worst part of the movie.
He's playing with the little matchbox car.
Yeah, he's not the
Liv
best
Tyler.
Part.
Yeah.
He's the worst part. Every time he comes on screen, you're like, shut up.
He's so loud
today. Remember,
he didn't bother me.
I remember I liked Chasing Amy when it came out. I haven't seen it since.
That was
one of the early Ben Affleck movies that I remember liking him.
Working with Kevin Smith. When he works with Kevin Smith, they usually get a pretty good result.
All right, so here's another Ben Affleck movie that I wouldn't recommend this for cinematic or storytelling value, but it's just a fun, like, throwaway movie that Ben Affleck is in, and it's called The Accountant. And he's this guy.
Never saw it.
Yeah. You know what? Don't waste your time.
It's a one-watch movie. You're never going to sit and watch it a second time.
And you're never going to think of it. The only reason I thought of it was I just Googled Ben Affleck movies. Like, I would not have thought, you know what I have to see again? You know what I'm going to recommend?
A movie over the most boring profession ever?
That's a misnomer, AJ.
That's what you think.
Okay.
That's what you think.
I'm like, I'm going to crunch some numbers over here. Wow.
No, it's an action movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Accountant has action?
Yeah.
Now the new 1040 film came in.
Is that what accountants sound like?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. His weapons are he throws sharpened pencils.
Exactly.
At him. I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
What did you guys think of his last big hit, Gone Girl? I wasn't crazy about it, but a lot of people really liked him.
Yeah, I wouldn't go, boy.
I liked the movie, not necessarily because of him. Again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Rosamund Pike. Rosamund Pike is the movie there, and she's excellent.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. What, I agree with that.
I'm laughing at AJ's joke.
What do you think of Gone Girl? So I wouldn't go, boy.
Get it. It's the same thing, but different.
Yeah, it's like being in a car with two drunks.
Thank you. Are we driving?
We always invite Joe on to talk, and then we talk over him.
Sorry, Joe.
Hey, man, am I parked right?
We keep having him back, because someday, you know.
He'll actually talk.
Sorry, Joe.
But Joe doesn't mind.
He has such a great time regardless.
Joe is, like, really cool.
Yeah, I enjoy the conversation.
It's really cool.
Well, I love talking to you about movies because you're such a fan. Joe, we're linked up to Joe's View on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. All right.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Governor Lamont will be on the show tomorrow at 8:20. Lots to ask him about.
Lamont!
One of the things will be phase two openings.
Yes.
Happening the 17th of this month. Let's talk to Dave from Riverview Bistro. Are you ready for the 17th?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What does a restaurant need to do to be ready?
So it's a lot of the stuff is exactly the same, all the procedures that we had to follow. One of the things that was kind of funny is everybody on my staff heard about it. So all they cared about was, do we have to wear masks? But they still have to wear the masks and the gloves. So that's
got to be
change.
Tough for them, right?
Yeah.
You're working hard.
Especially when it's 85 degrees outside and they're walking from the middle of the restaurant all the way out to the back, right?
Yeah, getting the face sweats.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, but inside gets to be 50% now.
Oh.
So you still have to do 6-foot distancing with tables. So in our case, we go from like 112 to 54 in the dining room.
Can you survive on 50%? Can you keep it going?
You can, as long as you maintain the good thing that one of the things that's actually good is anything you made outside, you're allowed to keep as long as the town agrees to it.
Nice.
So that's a benefit, you know. So if you ended up getting a lot of restaurants use parking spots and things like that, so they got to expand that way. So they'll get to keep that as long as the town they're in says yes, and then they can continue with inside. So that helps them a lot.
Nice. Okay. Indoor, outdoor. Gotcha.
Anything else with the indoor that's different from the outdoor?
Just the fact that there's not going to be, one of the things is it's straight 50%. So there's no more 5 people or less kind of thing. Nowhere that I've read so far. And I was told no. So
I heard groups of 10
is huge.
Oh. We've expanded to groups of 10. So you could have a party of 10, right?
Yeah, I see.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have any of that in writing. And when I actually called our health department, I was told, no, it's just 50%.
Gotcha.
So we haven't even seen that yet.
So you could put all 50% at one table.
There you go. See?
Yeah. So you could have a party of 54.
Seems exactly fishy right. A little bit, you know?
I'm going to ask the governor about that tomorrow.
There you go. So
well, that's the, you know, the communication. Have you felt that the communication's been good?
There's of course, with everything, there's a lot of gray areas. You know, it's easy to say your interpretation of how you read something. So I guess it comes down to the town you're in following what they tell you. Take what you read from it, get with them and say, okay, am I allowed to do this? And they'll fine tune it for you. So I am in Stratford, we work with the health department. They send out the information to us right away and they kind of translate what they see based on what it is. That way, you know that you're not breaking the codes that they have in the town because the towns are responsible for overseeing it.
How is the demand been for outside dining?
Very busy.
Really?
We've been very busy. Yeah. Man, yeah, we've been very busy.
It's amazing how fast. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. But I thought when this all started, I thought, oh, restaurants are going to be tough. It'll be a while. It'll be a vaccine before people feel safe. And apparently I was wrong on that one.
And plus he's also on the water. It looks nice.
Well, I think the more we learn about this, the better we feel.
Right.
And we did flatten the curve.
Exactly.
And we do the right things, and it stays at bay.
Exactly. So, right.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, it's been good. And the funny thing is, there's some customers, like, we see in all age groups. I have customers that make jokes. They come up, they're like, I'm supposed to stay home, but I'm not. And they walk in, and they're, you know, in their 80s, and they sit down. And they just want, you know, their biggest complaint is, we have to walk so far to leave. Why can't we leave out the same way we came in? And I'm like, it's just the way the rules are.
Exactly right.
Right.
Rules is rules.
They got to come in one way and go another way. So that's, for us, that's going to be one of our, we laid out the dining room already, but now we're trying to figure out how we're going to lay out the ins and outs. Because if we have the one entrance at the front, which you all know from coming in,
right,
then it hinders the ability. Then we got to figure out, we got to have everybody exit two different ways out the back deck. So we'll probably keep the same entrance that we have now, so we can just send them one way out and one way out for either side.
What happens to the bathrooms? Like every other stall or what?
Yeah, so the stalls are okay because there's walls.
I got you.
As long as there's a divider. If there's not a divider of 30 inches above, like basically where your head is, then you have to have 6 feet.
So like I don't need to know any of this. I can go to the restaurant and you kind of guide the customers through the experience.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
From start to finish.
And then at 50%, are you bringing more people back? Will there be less people on unemployment now?
Yes. Yes. And
good.
For other restaurants that couldn't even open this way, they're going to have a lot more people coming back. So
See? It's
a good thing.
Okay.
So
and then
we're hiring now.
So you have outside, you have 50% inside. How many of your employees before this thing happened are back?
Right now, I've pretty much got everybody back.
Oh, that's great.
I brought everybody back.
Great.
Yeah. I got everybody back now.
Cool.
Because we're actually very busy. So now this last round, I'll have new people, so I'm actually going to bring new people in that I was actually going to start hiring to build up for the summer before we were closed.
Right.
So now I'm calling them back and going, hey, remember that job I was going to offer you in March?
Yeah, guess what?
Available again.
Here it is.
It's on the table.
I feel a sense of relief, you know,
yeah.
with the pandemic.
So far, so good.
We're coming out and knock on wood.
We're knocking.
All right, Dave, Riverview Bistro in Stratford, thanks for coming on, and it's good news, brother.
And good luck.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace out.
Bye-bye.
Well, when are we going to get concerts back?
When?
Oh, does AJ know?
For God's sake, when are we having a concert? The one is from the other deck. When?
The governor was saying Connecticut large outdoor gatherings could be phase three, and I believe that would be weddings, too. Let's talk to Stephanie May, marketing director at Capitol Theater in Port Chester, New York. Hey, Steph.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hello.
Any indication when you guys are going to have concerts there in Port Chester, New York?
What'd you hear?
No, unfortunately.
Damn.
Right now, the concert business, our future is very uncertain. So hopefully we'll be able to have a concert on the stage with no audience, and we can live stream that.
So we can be doing that. Would you charge people to watch?
Like a pay-per-view?
How would that work?
Yeah, we would probably charge people to watch a much smaller charge than a normal ticket would be. We just actually, our owner, Peter Shapiro, has a venue in Nashville, and they just did something like this with Jason Isbell. That was a free stream, but, you know, we're hoping that we can do that soon, which I think is still great because we can have people watching like a real live show and a band on the stage.
Right.
But as far as opening...
Can I add a twist to this?
Really, what's that?
Because I'm thinking what would draw me into this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that would be some cameras of backstage stuff, behind the scenes,
ooh,
soundboard.
That's cool.
Taking where you can't normally go.
Yeah. Yeah, like
that'd be really cool.
Go, you know, bring us to places we can't go if we bought a ticket and went to the theater.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Dressing room. Cool. Follow them, camera shot from the dressing room out into the stage.
Right.
Backstage, guitar techs tuning stuff up.
Exactly.
Any
right.
kind of drama.
Right.
Any kind of, you know, silliness that we don't see.
Get drunk again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The band having a conversation about the show before they go out. All that. The full experience.
Absolutely. I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
We have a platform that we use. It's called Fans, and it's just fans.com. And we've been doing a lot of streaming of archival footage.
That's cool.
When we did this at the Jason Isbell show in Nashville, but people can actually join a Zoom with other people watching, like from around the country, and they were able to bring people's videos from their Zoom onto the screens.
Wow.
So like the band
cool.
could
that's
see
smooth.
Them watching, which was really cool. And so we tried it out just to test it. And if you've ever been to the Cap in Port Chester, you know there's gorgeous. And we have a projection mapping system all over the walls.
That's awesome.
So we can project images. So we're able to project people from a Zoom onto our walls. So the band could actually be playing to the empty room, but see people watching from home. on the walls.
Right.
Very cool. People are getting very creative.
I would do shadow puppets.
Those 3D mapping techniques really transform a space.
Shadow puppets and the music.
I feel like part of the future of live shows will be an at-home experience as well.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. If you think about... I mean, streaming has been crazy. It's amazing how as soon as the pandemic really started, everybody was streaming, you know?
We just found new ways to do what we do every day.
I was screaming, actually.
Stephanie May, Marketing Director at Capitol Theater in Port Chester, on the show right now. That's Capitol Theater has had some major rock and roll acts.
Yes, we have. Our history is amazing. You know, the venue was built in 1926, but in the 70s, basically every major rock and roll band from the Grateful Dead and Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, Frank Zappa, Pink Floyd, Fleetwood Mac all played.
Wow.
In the 90s, we had, you know, the jam bands like Fish, Spin Doctors, Blues Traveler.
I feel like you could get all them now.
Yep.
But you'd have trouble getting Pink Floyd even if they were together.
Right.
That's pretty amazing. Pink Floyd in the 70s.
That's storied, man.
Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane, Frank Zappa, Joe Cocker, Fleetwood Mac. Wow.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
The list goes on. Tell us about SaveOurStages.com.
Yes, thank you for asking. So we have joined an organization called NIVA, the National Independent Venue Association, and their mission is to get funding from the government to help save all of these legendary stages. So it's really easy to do. All you have to do is go to saveourstages.com, and it takes 30 seconds just to write your representative. So, you know, any music fan that had their first best night of my life at any of these venues, or, you know, these concert venues are really like the heartbeat of a vibrant, you know, community. So from the fan to the band, you know, so many artists got their start at these independent music venues. And they actually did a study that said that every dollar spent at a concert venue results in like $12 spent in the surrounding economy.
Wow.
So the restaurants, the hotels, the coffee shops, the bars, gas stations, you know, people travel to come to these
beer and wine.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So this is the best concert experience of your life, or first concert?
So I'm just saying, like, if you've ever had that best concert experience or your first show.
Yeah.
You remember that time that...
Oh, so many.
You've had that experience. Just think back to, like, you know, those venues that were life-changing.
It's a religious experience.
Right, the ones I do remember left, yes.
Yeah, it could be like a religious experience where you feel like everyone there is at one with the universe. I know that sounds weird.
But, no, it doesn't.
That's good weed, yes.
What was your first concert?
Oh, my God. Well, I went to see a Jingle Ball show.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
I was like 13.
All right, so there's like, there's like a million bands.
It was like Jay-Z, Beyonce, even Gangnam Style, that guy.
William Hong?
No.
Yes.
Gangnam Style was the other guy, the Korean guy.
Yeah. No one even knows. They just know the name of the song.
Yeah.
His name is Psy.
Right. That was it.
Yeah, that one.
Of course Phil knows.
No, I think
computer head,
right?
Anyway, it was one of those silly shows.
All right. Well, you started with like 14 bands. That's not fair.
Yeah, really. I saw one.
All right, Stephanie May, Marketing Director, Capitol Theater in Port Chester. We're linked up to all things you and SaveOurStages.com at the radio station's website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Jazz and AJ News.
Bing. Bing. Can you hear me? Bing. News people are very loud.
Shut up.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Big takeaways from Governor Lamont's news conference yesterday was coronavirus and protests and how they intertwine together.
Huh.
And, you know, there's some concern that, you know, thousands of people together, not social distancing, whatever.
Could cause a problem.
He said they're going to keep an eye on it. He reminded us all that the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, encouraged people who attended protests not to see their grandparents for 2 weeks and stay away from vulnerable populations.
Like you're grounded, I said. Yeah.
Yesterday, the number was 124 new cases. That's with 5,715 people tested.
Huh.
I'm no mathematician, but do the math, it seems low.
Exactly, good. Keep it that way.
Hospitalizations dropped down to 324, so let's be excited about that.
Yes.
Yay!
But keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, don't become complacent.
Phase 2 begins on the 17th next week.
Yes.
Restaurants and a whole list of businesses will be opening. And what was really good news that came out of one of the governor's press conferences a few days back was graduations can start on July 6th with various health protocols in place. And on the phone now is one of the folks that was behind this happening. She was the engine that powered this movement. It's Tara Santa Barbara. It's purple.
It's purple.
It's purple.
How are you?
Hello. Hi, I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. You're the mother of a Guilford High School senior.
Yes, I am. And that's the group I want to talk to you about today. These kids have missed out on so much. I mean, not to take away from families that have lost way more than a senior year, but I mean, you know, no senior outing, no proms, no senior breakfast, no yearbook signing, no goodbye to favorite teachers, project graduation, the list goes on.
Right.
Yeah, when you put it all together like that in a list, that's big.
Long list.
Yep.
It really is. It really is. So we were really hoping, you know, for somewhat of an in-person graduation for Guilford. And on the 22nd of May, we were handed a plan that just wasn't going to work. It was incredibly restrictive without bearing. You know, it just didn't match with what was going on in our state.
And how did you get that? Are you happy with what they're doing now?
I am happy with what they're doing now. They heard our voices. They heard the voices of the kids, most importantly. And they've agreed to changes, and these kids are going to walk, which is all they wanted and all the parents wanted for them.
Of course.
How will they be doing it in Guilford?
So in Guilford, we are going to, they haven't released details yet. They gave us a vote, and the vote to walk won on Friday night. And we are going to be at the Guilford Fairgrounds in small groups walking across the stage. I don't know if it will be groups of 20 or 25. Parents must remain in the vehicles. The kids will have their pictures taken. I don't think they can take their masks off for the pictures, but they're walking, and that's the important thing. So I'm not sure how they're going to do the traffic flow yet, but we are going to parade from Guilford High School to the fairgrounds. So we get to do that, too, which is great and so different from what they were offering.
So the pictures that they have to have their masks on for, are those individual pictures or is that a group picture?
Yeah, those are the individual pictures, you know, that are taken, you know, that you frame normally, but maybe not this time.
It seems weird to have your mask on for that if it's an individual picture.
Yeah, you can't see your face.
Well, it's usually with the student and then the person who hands you the diploma, like they sort of pose.
Oh, is that what's happening?
That is true.
That's the picture?
And I'm not sure if that's how they're going to do it with the actual, you know, pose handing the diploma or not.
Right.
But I don't know. Some towns are letting the masks come off. Some are not. I mean, it is so different across the board, which is why, you know, my friend Beth Kozarek and I started this grassroots movement because we knew it could be done. We knew these kids could walk and we didn't have to stay sealed up in our cars watching our kids graduate on a screen that was pre-recorded days before.
Did you use as part of the negotiation any of, not the protests, but other things like groups of people on airplanes and
other examples?
I don't know. Other places, where beaches where people were together in other states. Did you use any of that as part of the conversation?
That Ozarks thing?
Yeah. Yeah, Chaz, we did. I mean, we referenced Walmart, you know, in Guilford. We referenced The Place, which is a wonderful restaurant in Guilford. We referenced the Big Y and Van Wilden. You can't get a parking spot in these places. But our kids are told that we won't graduate them in small groups.
Right.
You know, it just, it didn't make sense. It
didn't add up.
Didn't make sense. That's right.
Yeah. That's a great argument because you're going to like Home Depot for a garden gnome.
Right.
And you can't let kids, which is something you could sit home for and wait.
You don't have to wait for that, yeah.
You could wait for that. And then a once-in-a-lifetime experience for a kid we're not going to do.
Right.
When that could be organized and controlled like you two. Well, congratulations to you two. You worked hard.
Absolutely.
You did it right.
Success.
This is what we want, you know? Just
exactly. A happy ending, hard work, and the kids were given a voice, and that was all we wanted. Give the kids a voice. It's their graduation. Graduations are about the graduates.
Right. And now you're going to have speeches, all of that?
Yes, live speeches from the valedictorian, salutatorian, and a few others as normal. Yes, I'm not sure about the superintendent and all the other
speeches that we normally have. We're starting to lose
you. I'm sorry.
Going through a tunnel.
Is that any better?
Way better.
Much better. I thought you went into a tunnel.
Okay. So, yes, we are going to have live speeches. Yes, hopefully mainly from the kids and you know, sometimes we have lots of people giving speeches. I don't know that we need that this year, but I'm not sure yet.
You know, to be honest with you, I don't think we need it any year.
Yeah. I mean, the speech is so freaking long.
Yeah.
And it's always that kid who always overachieves.
No,
I just saw him last week.
Yeah. No. I don't mind the kids.
No.
It's the adults who want to pontificate on what this all means. It's like, this is not
what it means.
Let's hear from the students.
Each speech be no longer than 90 seconds long.
Well, the adults can get up there and get it done quickly.
I don't even know that word, pontificate.
Exactly. Yes, I completely agree with you, and most of the parents that I was working with agree with that as well. We'll see.
Yeah. How many kids are in the graduating class?
About 280.
Huh.
So you're in that group.
Right.
You're over 150. So you have to split it up. So
maybe if the speech goes too long,
yes,
someone launches a pie at the person.
Yes, that's a good idea.
She likes it.
Yes, our principal's retiring this year. This is his last year. So waiting to do something in July or August wouldn't be an option. So,
is there a senior prank this year?
No, there wasn't. I wish there was. I don't know if we do that anymore, Chaz.
Yeah.
And that's so fun.
No,
I can imagine they would be in huge trouble if they did.
Right. With everything going on.
Need a little humor, no?
Maybe we pass on this student.
You have to do it on Zoom.
Right.
Doesn't have the same zip.
Well, you know, we talked to one mom out of Wallingford who was pushing this forward, and it's good to talk to you. And it's moms like you who, instead of walking around complaining, actually did something really positive and got things done.
Yep.
Your kids are going to remember this forever. And, you know, Mother's Day, when that comes back around, you should get a really nice gift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You earned it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, Tara, thanks for what you do. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
You do. Thank you. Thank you. Come again.
How cool is that?
That was wonderful.
Awesome.
Tara Santa Barbara.
How cool.
Mother of a Guilford High School senior, wife of our client, PurpleDumpster.com guy.
It's purple.
And a Chaz and AJ tribe member.
And a fan of the pie idea from AJ.
Yeah, that was not a bad idea.
She was excited about that, and she was excited about the senior prank.
Yeah.
Right?
She's fun.
All right, next story. Jogger caught on camera pooping in community garden.
No. Well, they are a runner.
Disgusting 50-second clip shows the crude runner.
A woman. That was her just now.
Setting down his drink before nonchalantly dropping his trousers, crouching and relieving himself in the neighborhood green space.
Right, the begonias.
Time to fertilize.
Exactly, see? God, these flowers don't smell very fragrant. They smell kind of different.
Ugh.
That's what he just said.
Why today?
I don't know. So gross.
There's poop in the flowers.
Have you ever pooped outside?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Emergency.
Yes.
Had to. Car ran out of gasoline. I was walking home, and that's when I decided to kick in. It was double jeopardy, yes. The vehicle.
In a neighborhood?
I was coming back from roadieing, and the guys, the drummer swore to me he had gas.
Right, so nighttime.
Nighttime, by 3 o'clock in the morning.
And I ran out of gas.
Ran behind a
neighborhood?
No, first I went to 7-Eleven. They wouldn't let me use the bathroom. So next door was a professional building. Luckily, there's some bushes in a corner, and I just went to that corner. There was like a little space in there.
Inside?
Let it. No, outside. Mm-hmm. let one rip, like bad.
That's the whole premise of what we're talking about.
That's right, yes.
I thought he like pooped in a potted plant or something. I'm trying to follow the story.
Yeah, no, behind some bushes, but between some bushes and a wall of a nice white professional building. And I use my socks to wipe.
Oh.
You know, thinking outside the box. So
surprising part of the story is that you had socks.
Yeah, well, that was back when I wore socks. Yeah, well, it was wintertime, so I had to.
Phil?
I was walking through the woods with a buddy of mine. We were going to just, like, go toss a Frisbee around, drink some beer, like, out in a field. And as I was walking through, I'm like, ooh, this is
going to
happen right now.
Got a ripper alert.
I can't wait. So, yeah, we were on, like, a wooded path, and I decided I'm just going to run off the path in whatever direction is closest to me and try to go far enough in where no one can see me. I found, like, a fallen tree, and I decided to just kind of, like, hang over that. And I just sort of let it go. And then I had to find something to use to clean with because I was not going to take my socks off.
Nah,
that's why we were two pairs, one over each other, yeah.
So I used some leaves.
I don't want foot sweat on my butt.
I had to use some leaves.
Yeah. Better than poison ivy.
Yeah, I was walking through the woods. I'm about 10. And I don't know why, but it just occurred to me, I've never pooped in the woods before.
Oh. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to do
like,
it.
You know what?
Today's the day.
Bucket list. Bucket list.
Today is the day.
I shall poop
was
in the woods.
Everything you had hoped for?
No, I never did it again.
Man.
But I remember looking at my poop saying, this is the first time I've seen you not surrounded by water.
Exactly right. Like a fish out of water.
I'm like, you look different.
Yeah. And you smell more fragrant,
you're
too.
You're so different now that you're not in water.
Look at you.
I think I like you in water better. I'm going to continue pooping in the toilet from this day forward.
You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.